go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. In this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
Now you can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
We want to welcome listeners joining us for the first time today. In our broadcast, we look at the sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of our saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America.
Well, today we're continuing our series, Rebuilding a Missional Church, and Peter and I have shared what we believe is a critical truth about the Lord's purposes for His people, that His heart is both to build and rebuild His church here on the earth, and He's calling all of us to join Him as we move from maintenance to mission. That's been the theme of our series.
Yes, and we've established that rebuilding a missional church begins not only and necessarily with events, programs, or guest speakers. It really begins when individuals, including clergy, consecrated religious, and the laity, encounter Jesus Christ based on the patterns, first of all, we see in our Blessed Mother and her fiat, St. Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi, and St. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus.
And we're going to be talking a lot more about St. Paul because we had a providential event happen in our lives this month, and that really augments our desire to impart this burden to our listening audience. Peter and I just returned from a wonderful pilgrimage to Greece and Turkey, where we actually had the privilege of following in the footsteps of St. Paul on his second and third missionary journey. And a pilgrimage, is what we've learned, is a powerful opportunity to renew and ignite your faith and change your life through an encounter with Christ. This is our third pilgrimage, isn't it, Peter?
Yes, Lucy.
So we had the opportunity to really renew and ignite our faith around mission, and we're especially thankful to Tecton Ministries, who coordinated our pilgrimage, and they do so for individuals, parishes, and other nonprofit groups. And let's start, Peter, with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Do you want to share what that says about pilgrimage?
Yes, sir. The Catechism says in paragraph 2691, pilgrimages evoke our earthly journey toward heaven and are traditionally very special occasions for renewal in prayer. It says, for pilgrims seeking living water, shrines are special places for living the forms of Christian prayer. And we experienced that lesson. We want to talk more about that today.
Right. We definitely received living water on our pilgrimage.
Amen. Since our return, Leslie and I have been reflecting on how we personally profited from this pilgrimage and how this experience, following in the footsteps of St. Paul, has ignited our vision to move from maintenance to mission. And we talked about some things that we experienced while we were at the pilgrimage and on mission there. First of all, it helped us to go deep in Scripture. The Acts of the Apostles, the Epistles of St. Paul that he wrote to the believers in these different cities we visited, the cave of St. John the Revelator, and the skull of St. Titus, all of this and more opened sacred scripture in a new and fresh way to us. Also, secondly, we spent more time in prayer. Leslie and I carried a book of prayer intentions with us, and we sought the intercession of Mary at Mary's house, of St. John, both in the cave at Patmos and his cave in Ephesus. We sought the intercessions of St. Lydia at the river where she, the first convert to Christianity in Europe, was baptized. Thirdly, Leslie, daily Mass became very important to us, for it allowed us to encounter Jesus Christ while on pilgrimage. As we were celebrating the sacrifice of our Lord with our fellow pilgrims, it was building eternal memories. And then finally, as the catechism we just stated, we understood that we all are pilgrims journeying to heaven as our true home.
Well, last week we began to discuss some specific things that we learned from the mission of St. Paul and how we must return to his mindset, his drive, and sacrifice if we are indeed going to rebuild a missional church. And we realized in a fresh new way that St. Paul and what he accomplished is not just a nice history lesson. Rather, what he modeled and what's found in the New Testament is a blueprint for us here in the Western Church if we are to become missional. So, Peter, let's review for our listeners some of those key takeaways from last week.
Yes. So first of all, we became aware of St. Paul's missionary mindset. And there is a two-letter word that frames St. Paul's motivation that we saw repeatedly, his willingness to go, capital G, capital O. That is, to go on mission for the Lord and his kingdom. So during more than 20 years, he made three missionary journeys. And some believe that there was a fourth one if indeed he made it to Spain. We learned that St. Paul traveled over 10,000 miles by ship and by foot through much of the then known world, preaching about Jesus and founding Christian communities. St. Paul journeyed primarily through present-day Syria, Israel, Turkey, and Greece. And while walking those distances was extremely tough, traveling by sea wasn't very easy either.
Well, having actually been there, we saw the terrain and we saw how it was extremely mountainous in many areas. There was wilderness and great distances between the locations. And it must have been a very long and hard journey for him, wasn't it, Peter?
Yeah, it sure was. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, Paul described these journeys, Leslie, revealing some of what he suffered to bring the message of Jesus. He said this, "With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless floggings and other oftentimes near death. 5 times I have received from Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights," he said, "and finally hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked." Leslie, these scriptures, I think, are wonderful just to sit back and meditate to learn what Paul did for the church.
Well, Peter, we realized that for us to be his missionary disciples today, it all begins with our go. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about what allowed Paul to go and the road he traveled on?
So as we traveled, we shared last week that we stood on the road that St. Paul traveled on. In Macedonia, I should say, the cities where he spent time preaching the gospel, in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And we learned that he traveled on this road called the Via Ignatia, or the Ignatian Way.
Well, it was so inspiring for us to be on this road and really see the road that he took that allowed the gospel to spread during that time. And like Paul, we need to identify in our own lives where the Via Ignatia is and where the roads in our lives will tell us where we should go and be on mission.
Yes, I believe the Lord gives us those Via Ignatias to let us know where we should go, Leslie.
So please stay with us, listeners. Now we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll continue with our series and discover how St. Paul and his team had a key motivation that helped them know the guidance of the Holy Spirit as they were on mission. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Keep Jesus at the center of our day all day long by having those words in the background.
It touches lives. It does every day.
Well, welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. And today we're continuing our series called Rebuilding a Missional Church. And in our last segment, we discussed how the Lord orchestrated for us a wonderful pilgrimage. We followed in the footsteps of St. Paul and his team as they led the first century church into an age of mission. And we realized in a fresh new way what St. Paul accomplished. It's not just a nice history lesson, is it, Peter?
No, Leslie, not at all.
It's a blueprint for us here in the Western Church, Amen. If we're to become missional. So, Peter, let's discuss our second insight that we received on our pilgrimage.
Now, we've mentioned before, as the second missionary journey began, St. Paul and Silas tried to go south into Asia Minor and then north into the regions of Galatia and Phrygia. But this is what happened according to the scripture. As they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, which is today present-day Turkey, and when they had come to opposite of Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went to Troas, and a vision appeared then to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing, beseeching him, saying, "Come over to us and help us in Macedonia." And when they had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, while on our pilgrimage, Leslie, as you remember, I looked up that Greek word used in this passage where in the vision the man said, "Come and help us." And that Greek word just explodes what's really going on in that vision. It's interesting. The Greek word is botheo. And it properly means to run and meet an urgent distress. It's a cry for help to deliver and to quickly respond. It means to give immediate aid in time of great need. And originally, that was a military word, and it was responding to a critical, urgent need as well. And Homer used it for, and it was for responding to a war cry. In other words, this was a 911 call for help.
Well, Peter, we saw how this cry for help led Paul and Silas into Europe, where they first encountered Lydia at the river, and she became the first convert of Europe. And actually, when we visited Peter, I just remembered there was a beautiful mosaic of the call from the Macedonian for help. Remember that in the church?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Well, there were a few lessons that we learned from these particular footsteps of Paul. First of all, a cry for help can become our guidance system if we're looking for the place the Lord wants us to serve in our own personal mission. So, listeners, just think and pray about those requests for help that you're encountering in your parish or in your personal networks.
Yeah, and secondly, Leslie, if we're following Paul's footsteps in this cry for help, many times those most in need of yours and my help within our networks may not even be aware of how desperate their situation is. Remember, that Greek word points out that there is a desperation there.
It's 911.
Yes. The church teaches us that we are called to what's called the four last things. It's pretty intense to think about. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. There may be those in our personal networks, our families, friends, neighbors, yes, co-workers, and someone that we serendipitously meet at the grocery store that need our help, and they don't realize how important the words for eternal life are for them and for their future.
I know it's hard to think about that, but this is important that we reflect on that.
Yes. And finally, Leslie, we can see when Paul and his team followed the need to help in Macedonia, they not only helped Lydia and the Philippian jailer, Their obedience opened up a door to all those other European cities, Neapolis, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Nicopolis, Corinth, and Athens. So many others needed help from St. Paul as a result of him simply saying yes to that one cry for help. Leslie, I know that you and I have had times in the Lord where he's used the cry for help to call us forth and to move forward on the mission. Why don't you talk about one of those for us today?
Well, this happened a few years ago, and it's when Peter was directing RCIA at our church. And obviously, many times we encounter individuals who don't have a sponsor. So Peter came to me and said, "Would you help?" And I said, "Oh, sure. Yes, I'll help." And anyways, I was able to be a sponsor to a young woman who was coming into the church who did not have anyone in her life to sponsor her. And her grandmother had passed away, and she was a Catholic. And she was now coming into the church as a result of her grandmother's witness, desiring to be baptized and to put her life in the hands of Christ. Well, she was going through an extremely difficult time. She was single, pregnant. She was unsure of her engagement to her baby's father. And during this time, I had the privilege of accompanying her and sharing with her the love and care of Jesus and how Jesus wanted her to build her life on the rock as she navigated these difficult times. And this never, never would have happened if I didn't respond to a call for help. So I know in our parishes, there's a lot of calls for help, but we need to pray about it and be discerning about it.
And Leslie, the rest of the story on that young lady is that she became a vibrant member of the parish. And I can still remember going to Mass so often and seeing her in the back, rocking her new baby, and just totally engaged in the Mass, and really went through a dramatic life change. But it all started with being able to have an antenna for that cry for help.
Well, listeners, please stay with us now as we take another short break. And when we return, we will continue with our series, Rebuilding a Missional Church and Following in St. Paul's Footsteps. We will discuss the culture that the apostle confronted and what we too as missionary disciples confront today.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. We're currently in a series of broadcasts called Rebuilding a Missional Church, and we're following Paul's footsteps as he shared the gospel and was on mission, and he became our model. So we're learning that the heart of God is to rebuild that which has fallen into ruin in our church and to move us from maintenance to mission. So in our last segment, we discussed that while on pilgrimage, we learned so much from St. Paul on what it means to be on mission. Our first takeaway was his commitment to go where the Lord sent him. We too, in order to replicate St. Paul's example, must ask ourselves how we can begin to develop the desire to go as missionary disciples. In our last segment, we also discussed the second takeaway from our pilgrimage. Missionary disciples are guided by the call for help to those who are in need of the gospel. So now we're going to turn to our third key takeaway from following in the footsteps of St. Paul. St. Paul and his team faced a pagan culture that permeated the cities where they preached, and they confronted that culture with the claims of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Peter, where do we see this in the mission of St. Paul, and how does it relate to us?
Yes, Leslie. So on our pilgrimage, we discovered how much of that prevailing culture surrounded St. Paul that was filled with idolatry, debauchery, temple prostitution, sexual perversion, and hedonism. It just surrounded every place we went. In each of these cities, we visited on St. Paul's missionary journey. The Acropolis was the major site that we would see this. This was the high place, set up on the highest point over the city, where the temple was built to the god of that city. And worship of this god typically dominated, yes, really dominated, the culture of the whole city.
And we actually got to climb up to some of those high places, didn't we?
Yes, we sure did.
And they were really high.
Yes.
Well, Ephesus was one of the places we visited where Paul confronted the idolatry and worship of the god of that city, who is Artemis. So Artemis was the goddess, and she was a huntress of Greek mythology. She had a cult that followed her throughout the Roman world. In Ephesus, however, it was a center of Artemis worship, and the home of a magnificent temple that was built in her honor. It was actually one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, mm-hmm. and she was also noted as the patroness of fertility. Mm-hmm. There's been many figurines unearthed in recent times that depict her as a woman with multiple breasts, indicating that goddess of fertility.
Yes. So we find Paul in Turkey in this great city of Ephesus. He had been there for more than 2 years, the scripture teaches us. And it says in scripture that through his ministry at the school of Tyrannus that was in Ephesus, all of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord.
Well, having visited there, we actually got to see just what a great impact Ephesus would have had on the culture of that time, because it was a major center of commerce and culture. Mm-hmm. We visited a magnificent library there. There was a theater, a coliseum. The roadway into Ephesus was extremely wide, with all kinds of statues and things along the way, and actually a brothel where people who came into the city would visit the brothel.
Yes. Yes, like we mentioned, Leslie, there was the culture was easily seen on both sides of that road. And during this period where Paul was ministering, towards the end of that time, a huge riot broke out in that city concerning this new religion that at that point, the scripture says, was called the Way. Now listen to the Acts of the Apostles that records this scene. It says, "About that time there arose no little stir concerning the Way, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines to Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen of that city. These he gathered together with the workmen of that occupation and said, 'Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but almost all throughout the whole of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable company of people.'" Now, this phrase is so important, Leslie, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. Paul was pretty bold. "And there is danger, not only that the trade of ours," Demetrius said, "may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may count for nothing, and that she may even be deposed from her magnificence." And listen to this last phrase, Leslie. "She whom all of Asia and the world worship." That's pretty amazing. So Paul was uncompromising towards the pagan culture of this day. He confirmed and confronted it head on, saying, and again that phrase, that gods made with hands are not gods. Imagine those people hearing that their gods were not gods at all.
I especially appreciated when we stood at this one point on the road into Ephesus and saw the agora, or the marketplace, where all of this started. And then we actually went into the theater where the riot took place.
Yes, and that riot at Ephesus shows how the good news of Jesus Christ was bad news for the idols and the idol manufacturers of antiquity. And so you hear Demetrius, that we read about, and the guild's tradesmen turned the city against Paul and his team, whose promotion of one god dishonored the whole cult of Artemis and led to sharp decline in the sale of those miniature Artemis statues. Paul was bold, Leslie, and he wasn't ashamed of the gospel.
Okay, Peter, so how does this relate to us as we consider our own call to go on mission?
So I think it challenged us that we need to identify our modern day idols, right? We tend to think of idol worship as sins of the past, but it's very prevalent in our culture today. The reason is it's so insidious is that we tend to think of idolatry as bowing down to those idols that we saw in some of those museums on our trip, Leslie. Our idols look different, though, but they're all around us.
Well, Peter, how would you define an idol today for our listeners?
Well, I think a good way to think about it would be this. An idol is when something or someone becomes more important to us than our Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that turns my heart and my imagination away from the Lord, and I begin to seek fulfillment in that thing or person. Like even good things can be idols. Some of the modern day idols that we can think of might be my identity, my money or material things, my jobs and status and my educational degrees, maybe physical appearance and beauty, entertainment, sex, comfort, even phones and technology, family and children, and of course, fame as well.
Well, I think this is a call for all of us to search our own hearts and identify and cast down the idols in our own lives.
And Leslie, just as a final thought, it's very interesting from St. John in 1 John chapter 5, the last verse. And remember, John spent a lot of time in Ephesus, and he was buried there. And we'll talk more about that in our last segment next week. But this is what John said. Little children, keep yourself from idols.
Well, as we conclude today, Peter, would you please pray for us and our listeners?
Yes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for our brother, St. Paul, and his team that showed us what it means to be on mission and to be a missional church. We pray over our own lives today that you would give us the grace to be willing to help those that you bring in our lives that are crying out for help, knowing that that you've given us the tools in the gospel to do like St. Paul did 2,000 years ago. We also ask, Lord, that you would help us to be on the alert for any idolatry that might be in our own hearts, and also give us the boldness, like St. Paul said and did, that those gods are not gods at all. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for praying for us, Peter. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect individuals, families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.